to bless us. My wife says, life is not about waiting for the storm to pass, but about dancing in the rain. My wife is a brilliant theologian. I go to her for all sorts of inspiration, and she usually tells me no, but that's, you know, that's just life. Life is about dancing in the rain. I don't know what your life is like. I don't know what's happening to you at the moment. But if you're like most people, you have your good things and your bad things going on. And sometimes the bad things dominate and we can't see beyond them. But what God wants us to do is to dance through the bad things with Him, to walk through them, to get through them, hanging on to Him, believing that He is in charge. David had to wait to believe. And then David had to follow. I'm not very good at following people. I tend to be the sort of person who goes off and does his own thing. I've been like that all my life. My poor wife sometimes struggles to keep up with where I'm going. But I like to do things. I like to do things that nobody else seems to have done. I like to go and do things that other people find, ooh, should you be there? For instance, I got told off in Watford one evening by a church lady. I was sat in the doorway with a homeless guy having a cup of tea. And she saw me about an hour later and said, you are just so disgusting. You are bringing the church into disrepute. Well, I don't think I was doing anything particular. And she said, talking to someone like that in public seems odd to me. Hopefully it seems odd to you. But there are some in church who think that. The fact that I was chaplain to a lap dance club, if she'd known that, she'd have died on the spot, I think. But but he had to follow. Follow what God said. So he tried his best. He got things wrong, didn't he? You know, if you don't know the life of David, go away and read, you'll see he gets things majorly wrong at times. But he got there in the end. Do you know, that is so like you and me, isn't it? We try our best. Hands up. All right, this is your honesty test. Hands up if you've ever stolen anything. Pencil, biscuits, sweeties. I told you it was an honesty test. All right, put your hands down. Hands up if you've ever told a lie. What a church. Goodness me. Hands up if you've ever cheated at games. Let's be honest. We won't go anywhere else. Could get awkward. Pastor might have some work to do if we look at anything else. All right. Don't look around. Look forward, Tim, otherwise you'll have a heart attack, mate. So basically, you're telling me you're a church of liars, thieves, and cheats. We're all the same. We try our best. We try our best, but we still get it wrong. That's where the piece of paper you were given comes in. So have you all got a sheet of paper? Okay, I'm going to carry on talking, but I'm going to make something at the front. Your job is to copy what I do with the sheet of paper and listen and hear what God is saying. For ladies, that should be easy. For us fellas, it could be awkward unless you're really in touch with your feminine side. But either way, it's a bit of fun, nothing more. So don't get too hung up on it. All right. So David had to follow. And David had to do what God asked him to do. Because after all, God is the creator, the maker. He is the one who forms all things. He is the one who makes all things. And he is the one who knows all things. And he is the one who has a plan for us. And David had to follow so that he could get there in the end and be what God wanted him to be. You and I have to follow so that we can get there in the end and be what God wants us to be. Don't race ahead if you've worked out what it's going to be, because you could get it wrong. And then David had to trust. And sometimes trust is the most difficult thing of all to do, isn't it? Tim had to trust I wouldn't come here and do something really outrageous. He could have done. And perhaps if I ever get asked back, I might do. All right, so you should have something looking like that now. Do your best. Don't worry about it if it doesn't. All right? We have to trust. We have to hang on to the promises. He had to hang on to the promise that he would be king one day. Against all that his brothers would say to him. Brothers are like that, aren't they? I know when my little baby brother was thinking of getting married, we told him all sorts of horror stories. He didn't listen. That's his own fault. He's been very happily married for more years than I care to remember. But we have to trust. We have to trust that God knows best. And we have to learn that God made us. God created us. He made us who and what we are. All right? Have you worked it out yet? Origami Sunday. And he made you to be you. I remember when I was at Moreland's training, my hero, I'd only been a Christian a year, so I had only one hero, other than Jesus, that is, was Billy Graham. And I remember being told, you're going out next Sunday to preach at Ferndown Evangelical Church. Never heard of it. It still exists, but I'd never heard of it. And I thought, well, Billy Graham. So I got a big floppy Bible, and I went out, and I preached to the cows. There were lots of cows around Moorlands in those days. And I was out there preaching, and I heard very clearly a voice say, who are you? And I looked round, and there was nobody there. Who are you? And I said, well, I'm Richard. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't recognise you. I haven't called you to be Billy Graham. I've called you to be you. So I closed the big floppy Bible. It's still on my bookcase, not been opened much since. That one, other Bibles have, just in case you're wondering. And I became Richard. And Richard is something special. You are something special. Tim is something special. Because God made us to be us, not to be somebody else. And it's easy sometimes to look at other people and say, look at what they've got. They've got it all together. Their life is looking great. They're looking perfect. They don't seem to get anything wrong. Nothing seems to bother them. Until you get to know them, then you realize they're just like us. Isn't that true? And yet we need to be happy with who God has made us to be. He didn't make me to be rich. I am not a rich person. I would quite like to drive a Lamborghini. I don't think my knees would let me get in the doors these days, but I still like to drive one. You know? I really get jealous of my second brother down. He drives a Lotus. You know? But the bills. I'm glad he pays the service bill, the repair bills and everything else. We are called by God to be us, nobody else. David was called to be David with all his faults, with all his hang-ups, with all his family problems. He was still called to be David, nobody else. So we need to trust that God has called us. Quite simply, if you're alive and breathing, you can still become everything God planned and wants you to be. Doesn't matter what your age is. If you're still alive, God can still use you. God wants to take you and mold you into the person he, this is the difficult bit, make sure you line it up, he wants you to be. All right? In the front of my Bible, and I can prove to you what's in the front of my Bible, because it's stuck in, there is a poster, post-it note, stuck in, glued in. And it simply says this, this is my Bible. Just in case you wonder who it is, it's mine. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert. I struggled a bit there. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Not my words. A very clever man in America came up with those. But I've taken them on as mine. Because that's every time I open my Bible, that's what I read and say. so that I will be changed by meeting every day with Christ of the Scriptures. And he wants to take us, and he wants to do, now you've got to bend it the right way. Right, so that bit's on the outside, bend it that way. Make sure it all tucks in, make sure it all settles down nicely. All right. And you should end up with something that looks like that. So we've had believe, follow, trust, and then the last one is obey. Now, Tim prayed earlier that children would obey their parents. Whatever you do, never talk to my mum about me, all right? Because she will tell you, obey, he never did. Obey, he never did. It's the most difficult thing of all, isn't it? But on Mother's Day, we should really pay special attention to what our mothers are saying to us. We should really be paying special attention to everything that mothers ask us to do on Mother's Day, only on Mother's Day, all right? We don't always obey our parents, do we? You should have done that by now. All right? It's difficult. My dad always said to me, rules are made to be broken. Which is all right till you get caught, isn't it? Rules are made to be broken, and that's all right till you get caught. I'm getting some very frowny looks. All right? But when it comes to God, God really does know best. When he asks us to do something, he knows that that's for the best. He's not going to ask you to do anything that you cannot cope with. He doesn't ask me to do anything he knows I can't cope with. But when he asks us to do something, we should obey him and go and do it. We should be living as he asks us to live. Because after all, we have been chosen by him. Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." We were chosen by God. You were chosen by God. Handpicked. There's nobody else like you. Even if you're a twin, your twin is not like you. You are handpicked. That makes you incredibly special. When you look in the mirror, do you see someone special looking back? I see a balding head and a graying beard. I remember the days when I had long hair and no beard. But I look in the mirror now, and now I actually see my dad looking back, which is even more scary. But isn't it true? Isn't that true? And yet I am handpicked, specially chosen, before the formation of the world by God to be his. Isn't that absolutely mind-boggling? That's how special you are. But you don't look at yourself and say how special. You look at yourself and you whinge. You know, when my wife married me, I didn't have an all-round ministry. I was built for speed, but now I'm built for comfort. Yeah, I blame her because I was skinny till we got married. It's all her fault. But the fact is, we change. But are we happy with who we are? Because God wants us to be happy with who we are. Because he called us as we are. Before the creation of the world, he chose you, handpicked you. He wants to bless you. All right, are you ready? All right, get ready. Now, there is a problem with our aeroplanes. All right? There's no engine. Now, the problem with living for God is, where does the power come from? The power, of course, is God's Holy Spirit in us. For Scripture tells us that the moment we ask Christ into our life, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. Look around the church. Look at the person next to you. Can be scary, I know. But look at the person around you. Because if you know they belong to Jesus, they are a temple of the Holy Spirit. How do you treat the other temples in church? Do you love them as Christ loves them? Do you see them as Christ sees them? Do you see the power of God living in them? Now, these need our power behind them to fly, don't they? We need God's power to enable us to fly. So on the count of three. Who's the caretaker? One, two, three. Bless you. You enjoy that? It's quite a freedom, isn't it? To fly paper aeroplanes in church on a Sunday. God wants you to have that type of freedom in your walk with Him. To be free to go where He asks you. To be free to do what He asks you to do. To end up like David, receiving the promises. God wants to take us in our natural state as ordinary human beings and do supernatural things with us and through us by the power of His Holy Spirit. The challenge to us this week is, will we let Him? Will we let Him? I challenge you to be like David, to be different, to be following in Christ's footsteps, to hear what God is saying to you and do something extraordinary for somebody else this week. It may be as simple as buying somebody who's homeless a cup of coffee or a burger. It may be talking to someone in church you don't know very well or don't get on with very well and saying, that's dangerous, isn't it? And saying, do you fancy a coffee? Do you fancy coming around for a meal? Getting to know people, being extraordinary. Because God doesn't call us to be ordinary human beings. He calls us to be extraordinary, supernatural in Him, but only in Him. To do things beyond what we think we can do. And He wants to take us and surprise us. He wants to chase us down and overtake us with His love and show us something we've never seen before. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for the fun of flying paper aeroplanes. We thank You that it reminds us that we are creative people, but You are the great Creator who chose us before the beginning of time. Help us to live as You call us to live. Help us to be what You call us to be, that we may bring glory to Your name and freedom to the lives of other people. Take us and use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service by singing Great Are You, Lord, a song I have to admit I didn't know till this morning. Always up for something new, aren't you? All right, so the group are getting themselves sorted out. They're in a little panic trying to sort themselves out there. Look at them. What a handsome bunch. All right, so let's stand and sing, and we'll enjoy singing our lives.